Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know just the right person for the job. This is a phrase that we can be very familiar with in our lives. It's probably a phrase we heard as the elections went on last year, as various people told us whom they thought would be the best candidate for the presidency and other open positions. It's a phrase we might hear at work as we suggest names and people for open spots and jobs. It's also a phrase we might say as we act as armchair GMs for our favorite sports teams, as we assemble the roster the way it should be done. But this is a saying, though, that we can speak with great excitement and satisfaction when we see how a person's skills, talents, and abilities can qualify them for the job at hand. When the Lord looked at the spiritual condition of his people in the 8th century, and when he saw their need for the gospel message, I'm sure he couldn't help but think this about the prophet Isaiah. I know just the right person for the job. And as we look at the prophet this morning, we'll see how God had prepared him for this task and calling, and how he does the same for us as he calls us to witness our faith and to share his word. The Lord called Isaiah to be a prophet in the year that King Uzziah died, 740 BC. And we see that the Lord had prepared the man well for this moment and this ministry that he would start. 2 Chronicles 26 tells us that Isaiah recorded the history of King Uzziah. It shows us that he knew the royal family well, along with the people that he would be ministering to. It also means that he was a very educated man. Isaiah wrote what is to be considered the best book in the entire ancient world. Even pagan scholars will tell you that the book of Isaiah is probably the most well-written book in the entire ancient world. Isaiah also had the right personality to be a prophet as well. It takes a person of courage and strong conviction to be able to preach a message of law and gospel to a stiff-necked and to a rebellious people. And we see that his family would be a blessing, and his ministry as well. His wife was a prophetess. And the names of his two children, Shear Jashub and Mahar Shalhal Hashbaz, imagine having those for names, their names would be signs of things to come. God had used Isaiah's life to prepare him for this moment and this special task. Isaiah was the right person for the job. And in a similar way, the Lord prepares us for ministry in his service as well. When God looks at the spiritual decay in our day and our world's need for the gospel message, he can't help but look at you and me and say, I know just the right people for the job. He says, I have prepared you through baptism, where I have called you to be my child and to witness about the salvation that is given in my Son. I have prepared you through the education that I have given you. I have created you with skills, talents, and abilities that I've given you and only you. I have formed you through the experiences that you've gone through and the relationships that you've had. I have worked on you through my word and my spirit, which I have given you. As a result of these things, there are people that I can only reach through you and only you on account of these things. I have prepared you for the task at hand. God has personally prepared us, just like how he had prepared the prophet Isaiah. We really are just the right people for the job. But even though the Lord had prepared the prophet, he was missing one key and important thing. And as we go through the text, try to figure out what it is that Isaiah needed. Isaiah says that he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. We'll see that Isaiah sees and hears the triune God in our text. John chapter 12 tells us that Isaiah saw and spoke of the glory of Jesus in this scene. Acts 28 tells us that Paul said the Holy Spirit was right in what he said about his people in this chapter. And to make it even more clear of whom he is seeing and of whom he is in the presence of, the seraphim cry out, holy, holy, holy. One holy for each person of the Trinity. Isaiah is truly standing before the Lord. And what is his response about that? It's not, how cool, how awesome, I'm going to take a picture of this and put it on Facebook. Instead, he says, woe is me, for I am lost. In other words, I'm a dead man. I'm a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's afraid he's going to be destroyed because no one can see God and live. The holiness and presence of God makes him fully aware of his sin, and it reveals it. He sees that even the slightest offense, something small like unclean lips, is not tolerated before God, nor even is just glancing at him. God's holiness cannot be with man's sinfulness. Did you figure out what Isaiah needed? It was forgiveness, and something we need as well. For before a holy God, our sin becomes evident. His holiness really does reveal our sinfulness. It reveals our failures to use our talents, gifts, and abilities in ways that serve both God and our neighbor. It shows our failures at living a perfect life and of walking according to his ways. It shows how we've sometimes viewed his Ten Commandments more like 10 suggestions. A holy God is not okay with sin. We seem to be the wrong people for the job with Isaiah. We really should say, woe is me, for I am lost. But what happens next? God remedies the situation himself. He freely gives his forgiveness. In our text, one of the seraphim grabs a burning coal from the altar with tongs, and with it, he touches Isaiah's mouth, and he says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. The coal from the altar shows Isaiah that he had received forgiveness from God. The altar is the place where God accepted and was satisfied by blood sacrifice. Isaiah was forgiven and able to stand before the Lord of hosts. And once he was forgiven, he could accept the prophetic call and task. Isaiah answered the Lord's question, of whom shall I send and who shall go for us? By saying, here I am, send me. Forgiveness allowed him to go from being fearful in God's presence to being able to live and serve before him. Isaiah was only able to do this because of the forgiveness he had received. God could look past his sin. It made him the right person for the job. And God does the same for us today through his Son. For Jesus, our Savior, takes his nail-pierced hand, and with it he touches our hearts, and he touches our lips and says, behold, I have forgiven your sin. I have taken away your guilt and shame. Your sin is atoned for. I paid for that on the cross. You are right with God. You are at peace with him. Fear not. You are forgiven. For this cross is the place where God accepted and was satisfied by the blood sacrifice of his Son. The empty tomb is proof of that. And Christ's forgiveness makes us the right people for the job. For through faith, we answer God's call to share his word and to tell others about Christ by saying, here I am, send me. For it's a response grounded in the grace and forgiveness of Christ and in our identity as his redeemed and saved children. And as we undergo this task and call, we can see that the Lord is with us and that he will work through us as well. What are your flaws or imperfections? What are your insecurities about doing this task? What makes you think, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. He must have someone else in mind but me. Scripture shows us that God has a great track record of working through sinners. Moses was a horrible public speaker. He was a poor speaker, but yet God led 2 million people out of Egypt through him. David did some pretty horrendous things. He committed adultery and then killed the woman's husband to try to cover up his sin and his misdeed. But yet God was gracious towards him. And by God's grace, he became Israel's greatest and most famous king. Jeremiah struggled with loneliness and depression, but yet God worked through him to share his message of grace and repentance. The disciples were just ordinary, average, everyday men, but the world has never been the same since they spoke their message. God worked great things through these people, despite their flaws, despite their imperfections, and despite their ordinariness. The Bible isn't full of holy or perfect people, but is full of instances of a holy God working through them and forgiving them when they sin. Whatever your flaws or imperfections or ordinariness is, God can and will work through them. He's already invested so much in you. He has prepared you, he has forgiven you, and he has sent you just like the prophet Isaiah to share his word. When God looks at the spiritual condition of our day and the world's need for the gospel message, he really can't help but look at you and me and say, I know just the right person for the job. And I would agree with that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds, and in with Christ Jesus. Amen.